you stand with me, please, in Luke chapter 14. We'll read verses 25 through 35. If you're using a pew Bible, that's on page 1096. The Bible says, "And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish, lest haply after he hath laid the foundation is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make a war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to beat him that cometh against him with 20,000, or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt's good, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted, be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning, and as we look into it, it says some stark things that we don't hear people talk about today. And Lord, I hope that people will have ears to hear what we talk about, and I hope it'll make sense to them, and I pray it will be our heart's desire to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Bless this group, please, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I just want a little caveat here this morning that as I'm looking at my message, this is not a negative message, but it contains some hard sayings in it. Last week, we started talking about what it takes to be a disciple. And why would you want to be a disciple? There's many offers out there everywhere. Why would I want to have this job, or why would I want to buy that car, or why would I want to go on this vacation? And the question would be asked as a Christian, why would I want to be a disciple? Well, we talked about the three reasons why you'd want to be last week. Number one, Jesus is the only way. If you think you're going to heaven apart from Jesus Christ because you're a good person, or you work hard, or you love your wife or your husband, or whatever is fill in the blank you want to use, or you're better than your neighbor down the road and he says he's a Christian, I think I'm going to heaven, that will not get you there. The only way you're going to heaven is with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't happen, you're not going. Jesus is the only way. Say that with me. Jesus is the only way. Not only is he the only way, he is the source of truth. Now, I don't know about you, but you probably won't hear all the truth on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, all the little things you want to talk about. And at times you wonder, is anybody telling the truth anymore? Is the president saying the truth? Is Nancy Pelosi saying the truth? All these names you could throw out, are they saying the truth? And I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the source of truth. John chapter 14, he says, I am the way, the truth. And so when you know Christ, you know the truth, and he helps you to understand the truth and to get through some of the murk in society today. And I'll tell you what, apart from God's word, you're not going to find truth in too many other places. And so we try to be students of this book. Jesus said he is the truth. And I don't know about you, I'm interested in truth. And so we want to find that. And not only is he the source of truth, he's also the source of freedom. And obviously, America is the one country in the world that stands for freedom. As Ronald Reagan used to talk about, she is that shining city on a hill sending out a beacon of what freedom can be like. There are enemies in this country right now trying to take your freedoms away from you, squelching your speech. I read in the news this week of a girl that lost her title in a beauty pageant because she was a conservative, expressed some ideas that you and I would absolutely believe in, and because she said those things, they stripped her of her title. And that is becoming a common story in the United States today. You're no longer allowed to speak what you know to be true. And without being able to speak freely, we are slowly being shackled and put into bondage. And they are trying to shout us down, mock us. They don't necessarily want to argue with our message. They just want to say, label us. And once they can label you, then you no longer matter. So for us, oh, you fundamentalist Christians. We don't talk about being a fundamentalist anymore because that term ran off with the the Muslims and the jihadists, and so we don't call ourselves fundamentalists anymore, but all that term was we believe in the fundamentals of the faith, that the blood of Jesus Christ matters, that the Word of God is true, that the foundational truths that we know are true, we used to call fundamentalism. We don't anymore, and probably we shouldn't, because that word got co-opted on us, but the reality of it is we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. And in doing so, we believe in freedom, that a man ought to be able to make his choices, live his life, unencumbered by the governments of the world trying to stop us. America was founded with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, it doesn't guarantee happiness, which everybody seems to think that's what it means now, but you're allowed to pursue it. Maybe you'll find it, maybe you won't, but you ought to be allowed to take a stab at it. And that's what we want freedom to be able to do. America stands for that. America got freedom because pilgrims came over here with this book right here and established a country based on the truths, not of the Constitution, which is a wonderful document, but the Constitution is founded on the Word of God. And when we take out the Word of God, then we're in trouble because the Constitution doesn't have a foundation to stand on. Everybody's concerned that we're losing the Constitution. I'm more concerned that we're losing God's Word. And because of that, America is in great danger. I want you to know that because following a disciple, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, we do it because Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And not only that, He is the source of freedom. And I'll tell you what, even in a communist country, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you can be more free following Christ than you can be in the United States of America not following Christ. Because it's that inner peace that He provides that the world can't give to you and it can't take away. And that's why I highly recommend being a follower of Jesus Christ and becoming one of His disciples. So Jesus tells them some hard things. That is just, as you read the passage that we just looked at in verse 26, and we'll get to it. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children, wait a minute. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if you have love one towards another. And Jesus is saying here that I got to hate my dad, I got to hate my mom, I got to hate my wife. What is that talking about? Wouldn't you like to know? I'll tell you a little bit. So let me say this. As a follower of Jesus Christ, it won't be easy. Say that with me. It won't be easy. Sometimes we come along with this message, and I'm guilty of it myself. I want you to know that trusting Christ as your personal Savior is the greatest decision that you can ever make. But on the other hand, trusting Christ as your Savior in some ways takes care of certain issues, but it creates a whole new set of issues. Okay? And so in doing so, some tough choices need to be made. There is, in modern Christianity today, it seems like the message has changed. It's been a little while now, but if you follow politics at all or news, there was a former president that came up with a wonderful health care plan that he promised if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. If you like your health care plan, you can keep your health care plan. And on top of that, we're going to save you $2,500 a year. And obviously, that was a lie. And we've seen the results of that. This isn't a political message, but that's the truth. Okay? Well, it seems like the modern church today has adopted a saying that's almost from that, though you've never heard it. I touched on it last week. I'll share it with you again today. If you like your sin, you can keep your sin. If you like your lifestyle, you can keep your lifestyle. And Jesus will just love you anyway. And I want you to know, God loves you. He sent His Son to die for you, but He does not love your sin, and He's not okay with you continuing in your sin. He lovingly confronted the woman at the well and talked to her about her lifestyle and the things that she was doing. He told her that He knew that she had a bunch of husbands and now was living with a man that she wasn't married to. But His message wasn't, that's okay, honey. Guys will let you down. I understand. You know, life's hard. You deserve better. You just keep on looking. Eventually, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus confronted her. She ran off and told all of the town that this man just told me all I ever did. She no longer hid behind her sin. She willingly admitted what she had done. And she said, this man has got a message that will change your life. And she goes back to the town and she brings a whole pile of people back with her. I want you to know people respond to a transformed life, a different life. And I want you to know Christ has come to change you. You cannot be saved without repentance. Repentance is a 180-degree turn from who you are to what Christ wants to make you. You turn your back on your old life and you follow Jesus Christ to the new life. And if you're not willing to give up your old sinful life, then chances are you're not saved. It's a change. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's not saying, I'll fix that old stuff up. We'll clean that up. We'll make it look okay. No, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I want you to know that new life in Christ is so worth following. Amen? Amen. So that's what happens. We can't just go along to get along. Salvation comes with a change. I like what Vance Havner said in our newsletter. We always do a cryptoquip in the newsletter. The answer to last month's cryptoquip was from Vance Havner, and it said this. If they had a social gospel in the days of the prodigal son, somebody would have given him a bed and a sandwich, and he never would have gone home. You know, that's tough, but that's true. And sometimes we're trying to make you so comfortable in your sin, there's no need for you to change. And God's trying to put you in a place where you recognize you have to change because you can no longer go on like this. And the social gospel is just helping you to be comfortable on your way to hell. And I don't want any part of that. That's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying some tough things here that we'll get into. Number one, how can I be a disciple? Jesus says, follow me. Say that with me. Follow me. Here's some examples of that. Matthew 4, 19 to 20. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Matthew 8, 22. But Jesus said unto them, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. In other words, let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Matthew 14, 16 through 24 and 25 says, Matthew 16, 24 and 25 says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life will lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 19, 21, Jesus said unto him, if thou be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And other examples of that, Christ wants you to follow him. The first P will say is, pursue me, Jesus would say. Follow me, pursue me. The second P would be to prioritize me. He needs to be number one in your life. Not your staff, guys, not your wife, ladies, not your husband, not your kids. Jesus Christ needs to be number one. He needs to be the priority in your life. And that's where we're getting things mixed up. Prioritize him. But before you do, let me warn you about some things. And this is where it comes in verse 26. How am I supposed to hate my father and my mother? Well, there are some things that will happen when you put Christ first. Many of you have experienced these things already. Time is going by quickly. I'll hit some of these things, and maybe we should visit them more deeply. But number one, you'll be misquoted. Well, you said, no. A lot of times, a lot of people ascertain certain statements to me or said things about me. I've never said those things, but you'll be misquoted. It just goes along with the territory. You'll be misunderstood. You don't care about me. What happened? We used to have such fun together. Now look at you. My dad's here. Next to my wife, he's my best friend. I love that guy more than you can possibly know. I've never told this story in public, and he might be mad at me, but he's been mad at me before. I felt called to preach very young, and this is my dream come true right here. I thought I'd be an evangelist, but I like this. I like being in the same pulpit every Sunday. I like you guys laughing at my jokes. You know, you get me. Most people probably wouldn't. So here I am. Here you are. 1980, I says, Dad, I'm going off to Bible school. And so he took all that in stuff. And so come fall, we went to Pennsylvania hunting. I can't remember where it was. And we're riding along in the truck. And I says to Dad, I said, man, I can't believe a year from now I'll be in Bible school. And he says, let me tell you something right now. You're not going to Bible school in the fall. Really? No, sir. I said, fine. I won't go. I'll give you 1 year. 1980, I stayed home. Worked for my father in a sweatshop. And then, so come fall of 1981, I said, Dad, I'm leaving, and he didn't say anything, and I took off to Hammond, Indiana, with a buddy of mine named Ron Patoka in a 1976 Ford Granada, and I cried the whole way. I hated it. I hated the thought of going. I hated the thought of leaving my girlfriend, who later became my wife. I was miserable. I got out to school knowing I was supposed to be there, got into my dorm room, slept on the bottom bunk of a bunk bed, would bury my face up against the wall and cry myself to sleep for I don't know how many nights. I called home a couple of times. On the third call home, Mom says, don't bother to call back. Your father says not to call. He wanted no part of me being away to school. He thought being a preacher was a bad idea. He thought I'd never be able to feed my family. I'd always go hungry. He wanted nothing to do with that. If you want to come after me, you need to hate your father, you hate your mother, hate your brother, hate your sister. I didn't hate them one bit, but I'll tell you what, when you choose Jesus Christ, your family might not get what you are doing. And my family was a Christian family. They loved Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you, there was a time there where we were not on the same page whatsoever. How I thought I should follow Jesus Christ was nothing like they thought I should follow Jesus Christ. And we didn't get along, and I wasn't allowed to call home. But I was a disciple of Jesus Christ. I followed him. Dad and I never talk about this. This doesn't come up. It doesn't matter anymore. This is old news. Dad has been the greatest dad, so there was a little rough spot in the road. Get over it. Sometimes life doesn't go like you think it should. Dad was doing what he thought was absolutely right, and so was I. When we get to heaven, Jesus will look at me and say, why'd you go to Bible school? Why didn't you listen to your father? There are times when you follow Jesus Christ, no matter what happens, you will do your best, and those that care the most about you will fight you tooth and nail. And I'm telling you, that's what Jesus requires. He didn't promise a rose garden. He didn't promise every day will be wonderful. He said there's going to be some tough times, and next week we'll talk about it. Not only is it going to be tough, I want you to carry with you an instrument of torture, because when you're all done, you're going to die for me. And that's exactly what happened to most of the disciples. I want you to know following Jesus Christ is a treacherous road that can be extremely difficult. You'll be misquoted, misunderstood, mistrusted, and miserable at times. And I'll tell you, I was miserable following Jesus Christ. I did not like it, but I knew I was supposed to do it, and I did it. And I have no regrets. But if you think, well, if I follow Jesus, it's always going to be something I want to do, I'm going to love to do. Well, you'll do it because you love Christ. I haven't, was Metzger right there. Tom Metzger gave a kidney to that girl right there. That's an inspiration to me. I bet you as he was going into the hospital, we've never talked about this, is my preaching, not yours, you can tell however you want to. I'll bet when he was going into the hospital to donate a kidney, he's thinking, yippity-doo-dah, yippity-day, why, oh my, what a wonderful day. But I'll bet you what, because of his love for that girl, he had no reservations. Am I wrong? That's how it was, isn't it? And I want you to know, because of, and this sounds like I'm talking about me, I'm not. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about anybody that loves Christ. Because of my love for Jesus Christ, I have no reservations. Jesus said, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He didn't walk up Calvary's Hill thinking, I'm going to do this and it's going to be awesome. He did it with blood coming out of his pores, without the strength to carry the cross. Somebody else did it for him. But you know why he did it? Because he loved you. You know why we do it? Because we love Jesus. And I'm telling you, you could say, well, Stan, I don't want any part of that. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Millions of people have. Millions of martyrs have paid with their life. And it didn't matter because the Bible says, and we sing, it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life trials will seem small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow he'll erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. I'm telling you, being a disciple of Jesus Christ will be the toughest job you'll ever have, and you'll love it. Why not be a disciple? Why not choose Christ? Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Life's not easy. There are people that are going through trials right now, possibly because they're following Jesus Christ. And Lord, I'm not saying that every day is difficult, but I'm not saying that every day is easy. Life is hard. It's unfair. But Lord, I'd rather have a bad day without you. I know what it's like to be ostracized. I know what it's like to see my wife dying. I know what it's like to see a brother die of cancer. I know what it's like to have some difficult times, but I've always had it with you. And I can't imagine the lost going through things like that without you. I get to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Lord, I'm not asking for more trials. I'll be honest with you, I don't want any more trials. But I do want to follow you. You're my God, my Savior, my best friend. And Lord, I hope this morning, in the short time that we've had looking to your word, I've not discouraged Christians, but encouraged them to just follow you. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Lord, I pray that folks would be just willing to follow you. Thank you for the fact that we get to choose you, that we get to live for you, that you've forgiven our sins. We can put our sins behind us. There's no part of our old life that we want to keep. We just want to follow you. Lord, I pray that every person here at some point in their life has said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior and forgive my sins. And if they haven't, I hope they'd say those words right now. And then for us as Christians, maybe this morning we need to come forward at the old altar and say, Lord, I want to be a disciple. Use my life, please. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.